The recording is started.
Okay, thank you. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. Welcome to the CCWG new GTLD auction proceeds call held on the 7th of September, 2017. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you're only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourself be known now? Thank you. Hearing no names, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. And with this, I'll turn it back up to our co-chair, Erica Mann. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And when you check the agenda, you will see that we do have some apologies today. Carolina can't be with us, Elliot Snyder, John Levine, and Becky. All of them are not with us today. And I wonder if Asha is joining us. She's not on the call right now. It would be nice if she would join us. Maybe somebody could send her a quick message, just checking with her if she can join, because we are later talking about a board letter, and it would be nice to have one board member with us. Could somebody be so kind? Just sent a quick message, maybe. Thank you so much. And the next item on the agenda is the question about, sorry, somebody wants to talk? No, okay. The question about the conflict of interest declaration. Just remind you, please be so kind, always check if you need to update your conflict of interest declaration. You have seen the letter, and we will talk about it a bit later from the board. It continues to be an important point for the board and probably for some other community members as well. So please be so kind, always check this. Somebody wants to maybe make a point about the need to update it and want to raise a point here? No, okay. Then we pick this up later when we talk about the letter. Next item on the agenda, let me check quickly, is the review redrafted, the objectives and the examples we received so far. And Marika, would you be so kind and give us a short overview where we are and what we need to decide?
Yes, thank you, Erica, and I'll just pull up just the mind map that was circulated earlier this week. So we've divided this agenda item basically into three different sub-items, and it may be easiest indeed to go through those in that manner. I've just seen the document, so we're all focusing hopefully on the same part of the document. I'll release it now, but at least you know what we're in principle talking about under the first item, the I item, which relates to the draft or redrafted objectives. So what you see on the screen is basically the latest version that was circulated that aims to address some of the feedback and discussion that has taken place on the mailing list as well as previous meetings. So the way it has currently been reorganized is in this manner. So there's an overall heading of specific objectives of new GTLD auction proceeds fund allocation R. And then it has the four different bullets that we've seen before. They were before differently organized, and noting as well that in the longer document, there's also the disclaimer at the end that, of course, all of this at the end of the day is determined by ICANN's mission. So I think the question where we're at with regards to this specific part is whether this is in a state that the group feels comfortable accepting this at least as a preliminary agreement as the objective for fund allocation, noting that, of course, we still need to have a discussion on the open internet, and there are also still questions in relation to, you know, ICANN's mission and how that fits in with the objective. So those are, of course, still all factors that may have an impact on the ultimate final wording. But I think at this stage we're looking at, you know, are we at a stage that at least we can preliminary park this part and move on and start focusing on some of the other aspects, you know, one of which is the definition of open internet, which is the next item on the agenda. And then also a review of the examples. And again, if you scroll down in this document, you see a lot of bubbles and colors, which are basically the different examples that were put forward by people when we originally did the survey, asking you know, what kind of projects do you think should be funded by auction proceeds. You know, I already made an initial attempt to categorize those along the different objectives that we had originally identified. And, you know, some of this may need to be reorganized based on where we land with the objectives statement. But again, the next exercise would then be to actually start looking at these examples and then make a determination, first of all, whether the CCWG believes that those examples fit underneath the objectives that have been identified, but then also more importantly, whether those examples are consistent with ICANN's mission as a second test in that regard. So I think that's where we're currently at. So as I said, I think the first question relates to the draft objective statement. Do people feel that is at a stage that you're comfortable with parking this for now, or is further work needed on that?
We do have some new colleagues, so maybe just to give you some just a little bit of insight, we developed this method of working of always showing where we are, this mind map in particular. We have some detailed background information about each topic. And so everybody who is new, I would encourage to look into it. And Marika, maybe we can be helpful in guiding these new participants and helping them to find all the information, because I assume once you come in now, it's maybe a little bit hard to follow and understand where we are and how we approached our topics. The second, I think it would be good during the discussion about the open internet, which is the next topic we will debate. I saw in particular from Tony, but from some others as well, making recommendations and explaining with regard to various topics, the projects which could be financed. And I think we should bring this and include these points, Marika, if colleagues agree, in the examples which we already started to capture. So I think it would be good to do this. Alan, I see you raised your hand, please.
Sorry, this was in relation to Marika asking, is this better than we had before, or something to that effect. I think we're getting closer. I certainly had a hard time linking some of the sub ones to the main one when the benefit, the development, distribution, evolution was a main one and the others were sub. This, I think, makes a lot more sense. Looking at it now, however, I suspect we might want to take the third one and merge it into the first one, because it really is a subset of it, of the first one. So other than repeating the phrase Internet's unique identifier systems, perhaps the first one can add another phrase saying including benefiting the structures or something like that. Other than that, I think we're getting somewhat closer to a pretty inclusive set of restrictions, of objectives that are, of course, then constrained by the mission scope. Thank you.
Yeah, I think this makes sense, Alan. Again, for those who are not familiar with our method of working, you have to scroll up, totally up, where you see these four turkeys, little windows with explanation. So just follow up and you will find a point Alan was just talking about. Can we get agreement on the point Alan just raised? I see Sylvia is supporting him. Ching, you want to say something, or are you supporting him? Is this a supportive? Seems to be. Mark is supporting. Manal, okay, Mark, I think we have a lot of support. So let's do this. Tony, please.
Yeah, I just want to say that I support, I think it's a good motion from Alan.
Perfect. Marika, have we captured it?
Yes, Marika? This is Marika. So I put in the chat, so from what I understand, the first bullet would be reworded, so it would read, benefit the development, distribution, evolution, and structures that support the Internet's unique identifier systems.
Yeah. Sylvia just put in the chat room the, I think, identical phrasing. Alan?
Yeah, I think that doesn't quite parse well when you remove the first three. When you remove the, it's not clear whether support is just for the structures or. Sorry, I'm trying to read it, and it's scrolling off the screen, so I can't see it. Benefit the development that support the Internet's identifiers doesn't quite flow. But I don't think we need to wordsmith it on the call. If the intention is that we do something like that, that's moderately good English, then I think we can fix it as we go forward.
I agree. You worried not about the way it is framed, but you worried about the English language. Okay, yeah, we can work this out and just to. Do a redrafting, and then the English speakers maybe can have a look at it and just say it's okay. Okay. Any other point with regard to this topic? No? So we can put this aside for the moment, yeah? Perfect. Then let's move to the next item. Marika, please. Give us a short introduction where we are.
Yeah, doesn't work. If I can tell on the previous item, so I can take note that we have a preliminary agreement on the proposed objectives, and I'll send out as well as part of the notes an action item out for anyone that wasn't on the call to indicate if they have concerns or objections to that. But as I said, otherwise we'll just park this as well with the other preliminary agreement, and I think we'll probably start creating a wiki page or a document where we start capturing all the preliminary agreements so that we have those together, and then, you know, at the end of the process, come back to those and indeed, you know, address any inconsistencies that may exist or any rewording or fixing that needs to happen. So on the next item, and
Just wait a second. Maureen is asking a point. If you mentioned the projects. Because they are important too. Yes, of course. We have them in a separate document, and Marika was just talking about sending, and she already started working on it, and we will send it to you as soon as possible, an overview of about all of the agreements we reached so far and the outstanding points that we still have to, which we still have to review. And Marika, I would recommend to add to this list as well all the examples which we already captured. It's a little bit different point, but just put this in so that colleagues can review them and can see them again. Marika, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Good. Okay, next item, open internet, I think it was.
Yep. Yes, and I just Alan proposed a very brief or a minor update to the language that seems to capture Maureen's point. So I'll go ahead and add, you know, structures/projects which seems to address the comments that have been raised. So on the next item, some of you and not everyone may have seen the draft that was circulated just prior to this call, and actually, Erica, probably will just hand it back to you as it may be better for you to take people through this latest draft, which, as I understand, tries to bring together the different definitions, suggestions, and edits that have been made to the various versions that have circulated on the list. For, of course, our thanks, has been a very good discussion Erica has attempted with this draft to bring all these different aspects together, which are now in the form of a preamble that would basically precede the objectives statement. So Erica, it probably makes sense for me to hand it back to you to explain what people are looking at and any questions or issues that may still need to be addressed.
Yeah, sure. So what I have done, I have reviewed all the comments you sent, and I try to bring them into a single preamble, which I think captures all the points that were raised. I left out very few, which I think go beyond our obligations, even for a preamble, like, for example, net neutrality. So precise examples which touch on areas which not relate to our particular, to ICANN's particular role, I left out. But otherwise, I took in everything, and we can debate it if you think, if you believe that certain important points are missing. So the key point I took was a very nice summary from Sylvia, and then I put in all the other from Elliot, from Tony, from Daniel, from Soin, everybody who sent comments. I put them into the aspects which I think would make the most sense. So it is now a kind of, let's say, philosophical a preamble, which aims hopefully for the future and gives potential future evaluators a kind of framing when they have to take decisions. I would love to read it to you, but I can't read it to you because I can only see half of half part of the text on the, but let me see if I can manage in moving it around. So the first part of the preamble talks about why an open internet preamble is needed, but why it is relates to the ICANN bylaws mission as well. So it's a combination between the definition of the open internet in relation to ICANN bylaws and to the mission statement. And then I took this the bullet points. The bullet points were originally drafted by Sylvia, so aligned with ICANN mission and core principles to support ICANN community and activities, et cetera, to create social and economic values for the open internet at large. So these are language which were already there, and then I put in language which I found others brought forward and which I think fit nicely in these kind of bullet points. Now, if you don't like bullet points, we can translate it later into a different kind of language, but I think this is actually quite nice to have it in bullet points, and it makes it easier to read, actually. The last one is the one which I added, support a network of network of networks. The language network of networks, for example, came from Elliot, so we have to take a decision. Do we want just to say support a network or support a network of networks? And I added as well somewhere else the point about infrastructure, a point Tony raised, for example, in particular in relation to developing countries. I took out, Tony, the concrete examples because I think they would make much more sense to have them included in the separate annex which we are drafting about, which purely will capture, and we are drafting about all these different examples. I put in open standard and open access. This was a point raised by many colleagues, but even in particular, I didn't include the this point about not having any no. I think he mentioned to have no acceptance of intellectual property rights. Again, I think it's not an issue which is so relevant for our particular environment. So I left this out. But everything else I found, which I, from my understanding, I think it is relevant, is kept here. And then at the end, after these concrete examples, I picked up a point again, which came from Elliot, but from some other colleagues as well. Again, the last part is again a broader, refers a little bit back to the introductory remark and has a more philosophical touch, and talks again about the need, why such an open internet concept is needed. I hope this captures largely the points you raised. With this, I give back to you, and I hope we can have a discussion about it. Tony, please.
Yes, just in relation to the comments that I submitted, and thank you for including them. I did see an email today, very annoyed with what I said. I don't know if the person's on the call, but basically when I was talking about alerting internet users in developing countries on the availability of generic TLDs, I was not proposing a free campaign or free advertising for some specific top-level domains, which seems to be what this person understood, but simply many people, even here in Buenos Aires, don't know that they have an option to select to register any generic top-level domain names, with possibly the exception of .com and .org. So there is still a lot of awareness to be created, and I mean domain names is what is about really, or at least what we're dealing with. And the second point, with regard to internet exchange points, there was a comment, I think, from a concern from Marilyn on this, and I'm not proposing that we fund AmKicks in Netherlands or Links in London. Those are huge internet exchange points. They certainly don't need our help. They could actually probably fund us. But I am. My idea was a small island, perhaps, or a developing African nation might need an internet exchange point which is not for profit. And you would have connected perhaps a municipality, a local school, and perhaps a cooperative. Many times internet service is provided, even in Argentina, by cooperatives, and they are not for profit. So I just thought I'd make those two clarifications. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony. I think I included both your points. And the one which was raised by Alan as well about infrastructure, I even included your particular example because I was worried that about the internet exchange rate. I was worried that otherwise the text will be not understood what actually is said here. In all other cases, I excluded concrete examples because I think it's better to annex them and then they can be explained in much more detailed language. But please have a look at it, and if there's something missing, I think we sent a document to you now as Google document to everybody, so you can add concrete language and recommendations you would like to see changed. Alan, please.
Thank you very much. Just a comment on internet exchange points, because I think I was the one who originally brought the issue up. they are something which are high on the priority list for at least some RIRs, and certainly the RIRs in developing regions, and the RIRs and the numbering community is part of ICANN. So let's not forget that. Thank you.
And again, please review the text, and let us know if you have difficulty, those who have difficulty in reading Google documents. We can certainly send it to you in different forms. Ching, please.
Thank you, Erica. This is Ching Chao speaking. I'm just looking at the document that you've been working on. It. Tried to in the beginning add to add the points. The 4 points. I mean, originally in Sylvia's the definition. So up to, the point number 4 in the need of funding, that particular one, I think we give, the group is trying to work, at a higher conceptual level to give the, trying to offer the definition. And I think the point number 5 and 6, I think those are great points, but I'm just, flag out, this thoughts here is that whether, for example, point number 5, potentially this could be considered, as whether it's needed to be listed as a standalone point, or that's my number one concern. Number 2 is that whether this would trigger a further debate on, this type of activity should be supported by original ICANN budget, or should this be should the auction proceeds fund to be used here. I just like to flag that out is that we probably point number 5 and 6 we are talking about specific. I mean, although it's very important, we are talking about very close to what ICANN should be doing in their original, the operational budget. So this might trigger another, few rounds of debates. Just like to point that out.
Yeah, I think Ching raises an important point. The last 2 bullet points, I think we need to, I would really urge you to review and to see if you would either recommend to have them somewhere else or to reframe them. And I just will read these 2 so that, because not everybody might be able, if you have the same difficulty like I do, to see them on the screen in a coherent way. It might be difficult for you to see what we are talking about. So the one bullet point is alert internet users, particularly in developing countries, of the availability of generic TLDs that it can equip them with a unique online identity. I think it is a super important point because you have to keep in mind the DNS market is competing against many other players in the internet. And only the DNS offers what is called here unique online identity, which I think is true. But the question Ching is asking, is this something which shall be funded out of the fund, or if there's not something shall fund from the ordinary budget. Now, we know it's difficult to get something like this funded out of the ordinary budget, so we have to talk about it and consider it. And the other bullet point is support a network or network of networks that is stable, scalable, agile, secure, profitable, sustainable, and ultimately equitable, supports open access, future-oriented development, and open standards. So these are the 2 points. Ching is just saying we should question ourselves if they shall be included in these list of bullet points. And then there might be one I might have overlooked, Ching, because you said there were originally only 4. So there is maybe one other which we, and this is the one about internet exchange points, which were put forward by Tony, so we will have to look at this one as well. Shall this stay in the list? Next one is Sylvia. Sylvia did the original drafting. Sylvia, please.
Thanks, Erica. Thank you very much for all your work to put all the contributions together. It is really challenging, but it helps me think a little bit more clearly, so I really appreciate the effort. I think that Ching has a good point that maybe was also mentioned by someone before, I can't remember who, about having the examples that are more concrete about potential funding proposals to be included probably in a separate section, so the preamble can be a little bit more philosophical, as you were for, and then concrete examples like the IXPs and alerting about domain names can be included along with the many other examples that have been shared. From my experience managing a grants program, the more samples you provide, the more chances that people will actually submit that example as a grant proposal. So I'm not a big fan of giving examples because you are more or less saying to people how to solve the problems and then all of the innovation you're looking after or trying to get some innovative solutions actually don't come in. So the use of specific terminologies or specific technologies might hinder the capacity of people to actually think, I am eligible for this or not, and then put the effort into building a proposal. So I think having all the examples on a separate section and keeping the preamble a little bit more ethereal, a little bit more topical, will probably help. I think that the examples are very good. I particularly, of course, like the one about internet exchange points because that's something that, as Alan mentioned, as at the AREAR, we are working on them and supporting them, funding them, and providing capacity building for those, for many of those in developing nations. So, yes, we are very interested, but probably don't agree with Ching that those two might look better probably on a different section. And I also think that the last paragraph needs a little bit of working. I think there is some repetition from other parts of the text above, but that's a minor statement. Thank you, Erica.
Thank you, Sylvia. I think you raised an interesting point which we have to consider, which triggered me to rethink the character of the example. So if I understood you well, you are worried that these examples might guide future groups which want to apply for funds actually to take them as examples they would use to apply for the for funding. So maybe we should consider and think about, I think it's a very good point. So maybe we should think about these examples as examples we might not want to attach, or maybe we will attach just a light version to this document. But we will keep them for the evaluators, because I think these examples might guide the evaluators in the future in case they have a border case and they're not completely certain how they want to judge it. So this might be a kind of just helpful for evaluators. Go ahead, Sylvia.
That's an option. That's a good option. Also, you could have like a frequently asked questions and section, and then on that have a long list of examples and say that the list of examples is not exclusive, that this is just some of the examples that the CCWG, and that it's up to the applicant to review the objectives, the preamble, and whatever other requirements that the process will request to be able to prepare a proposal that is fit for purpose, I think. So I think the example enriches the imagination of people. It's just that if you put them out there at the beginning, most people will kind of cut and paste and say, as per the questions we are asking for money for an ISP in a developing country, things like that. So and you will find more or less exactly the same wording that you have trying to guide people. So a lot of the grant programs on these areas are trying to not to be attached to specific technologies or specific solutions. The technology can change. It is changing with IXT, for example. There are other ways to refer to IXT to future applications or improved development of IXT. So then you might end up referring to one specific thing, Internet of Things or PUI spaces or whatever. So just kind of locking into one technology reduces a little bit of the innovative thinking that people can bring into this, which is a lot more exciting, I guess. But that's my opinion from a grant maker perspective.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. And you have support from Nadira. I see many comments raised by Marilyn, but I want to go first to Alan and encourage Marilyn maybe to raise her hand, that she can raise them so that we can hear. It's always sometimes difficult to hear and to listen at the same time to follow the chat room. Alan, please.
Thank you very much. I think this is a really important discussion, but I think it's very premature. The examples, when we finally come to putting together information for both the evaluator and for prospective applicants, we have to make sure that we are not prescribing exactly what they should apply, but examples, and make sure, particularly for the evaluator, that we are not restricting things by means of the examples. So we're going to have to make sure we have a nice range of sizes for whatever size range we allow, and different kinds of things. And yes, the examples may end up being used as proposals, but if they're good examples, that's fine. Presumably other people will be innovative and come up with completely new ideas. But I think all of that is very premature. The examples here are for this group to try to get a feel around what kind of projects are we going to accept so that we can then structure the words properly. So I'm really not worried about the publicity campaign at this point or the instructions to the evaluator, but us coming to closure on what we want to do. There's a lot of work that's going to be done towards the end to make sure that the outward-facing information is indeed appropriate. But I think that's the cart before the horse right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. I see we have Samantha who is with us today. Sam, if I could ask you a little bit later, I want to take first Marilyn and have a debate about the topic she's raising. But if you would be later be willing to comment on the open internet concept as a preamble, the way we have done it right now, and if you could just, in case there's some concern you have from a legal point of view, if you would be willing to raise these concerns, I would appreciate it. And maybe Asha is with us right now and a little bit later as well. I see she was trying to join the call. Marilyn, please.
Thank you. My name is Marilyn Cade. I am a business executive. I've been involved in ICANN for many, many years, and I say that because I'm going to make a couple of comments that may or may not be popular with everyone. I apologize for joining this group only recently. Perhaps I should have joined it earlier. I am only a participant, and I want to acknowledge that. I am not the official CSG representative. Tony is. But I'm going to speak about a couple of things that really concern me that come with perhaps some historical perspective to take into account. I would ask that you reconsider the idea of using the term open internet, open caps, internet caps, recognizing that if you just do a search right now on your smartphone or your iPad or your laptop, the first 8 to 10 responses you will get identify open internet with net neutrality. So one suggestion I have for you is to please think more creatively about the terminology. I'm not objecting to the concept. I'm just noting that in Europe and in the U.S., I'm not saying it's everywhere, but at least in some countries, open internet is identified with net neutrality. That's not what you're talking about, and so I made a couple of suggestions. I think also you should think about calling your focus the open and interoperable internet, in quotes. Internet capitalized, open and interoperable, not capitalized. I think that you need to be very, very careful about how others will judge us, that we need to be very careful about how others will judge us on using a terminology that brings burden and warts, so to speak. That's my first point. The second point I'm going to make is the internet is a network of networks. It is not a network. It is a network of networks. That definition is a long-standing, recognized definition over the life of the internet. A single network can meet all of the definition of being stable, scalable, agile, secure, profitable, sustainable. That's not the point. The internet is, capitalized internet, a network of networks. Please stick with that. Respect it. We have worked on that for all of the years that have created the internet. My final point is just going to be, look, these funds were amazingly created without expectation. There's a expectation of what they will be spent on, but they need to be spent on the full ICANN community, not advancing GTLD marketing, advancing all of the TLDs. And I understand if you're a proponent or you introduced a new GTLD, that you, of course, want to market new GTLDs, but let's respect that the CCTLDs are just as important to the stability, reliability, sustainability of the internet as a new GTLD might be. So when we spend the money, let's spend it with ICANN overall in mind. Thanks. And thanks for the opportunity as a participant to speak. I'll go on mute now.
Of course. Of course. Thank you, Marilyn, and welcome to our group. Good to have you with us. What I would recommend, these three points which you raised, you will receive the Google Doc. Just put in comments immediately, and if you want to reframe, do so. Like on the open internet, you made your point. Just put in a comment on the side if you find a different terminology you want to use. I think we all are aware about the context, how open internet is used. That's why we try to reframe it. But if you think the danger is too high and colleagues agree, I think there will be certainly a willingness to change it maybe. But just put it in the document. If you have a new word which you think is better, a better terminology to use, please be so kind and put this in. In a moment, I think we can, the way we described open internet, but that's my personal opinion. I think there's no confusability with the debate we had about net neutrality. But that's my personal opinion. I don't want to shut down any debate. So please go and have a look at it. As you can see on network and network of networks, I already have both possibility options included. So just delete one of it, and then we can move forward and see if other members or participants are commenting on this one. I saw Tony. I think, Tony, you dropped your hand.
Yes. Well, actually, Marilyn was quite okay. Clear about the network of networks. Actually, the only comment I wanted to make on that was with regard to future-oriented developments and the possible need for funding and research, because we have the problem of the digital object architecture now, the DOA, which is being heavily promoted within the ITU, and perhaps as an alternative to the DNS. But there are technical groups that already apparently have the solution to integrating DOA as a technology into the DNS. And there may be some need down the road for funding for this research and actual testing. I just thought I'd mention that because it's quite a big subject out there. Thank you.
Arlene, do me a favor. Nobody is changing any definition. These are points which I took recommendation from different colleagues. That's why you have network or network of networks. We don't need to have a debate about it. I think we have an agreement now that we want to have network of networks, but everybody please review. I didn't delete anything, so I just left the two recommendations which I saw, which came from different colleagues. So there's no judgment in it. Just please read it again, and if you want to change something, let's do it. I would love to conclude this debate here about open the using open internet. I would rather prefer that you put comments in the document, or you send comments either to myself or to Marika, so that we can have next time a discussion about this. Question is, do we want to delete open internet? And if we want to delete it, what is the other wording we want to use to capture what we want to say? Sam, can I ask you now maybe to give us some background and some comment about your thinking?
Sure, thank you. This is Sam Meisner from ICANN Legal. And just to be clear, we haven't had internal conversation at ICANN amongst the organization or with the board really to frame a position on this. But from watching the traffic, I can give you some of my reflections on the issue. First, I really take Marilyn's comment that you shouldn't be using the term open internet as a defined term with CAPS. I appreciate the way that she rephrased it, because I think trying to create that sort of definition or a defined term really could create some confusion and causes a lot of potential that we'd be trying to define a term that, as she's pointed out, is already used in multiple ways and could itself put some of the adherence to the mission at issue. For some of the specific items that I see on the list, you know, I think we need to step back again. You know, that funding for internet infrastructure, even though it's related to ICANN's mission in some ways, because again, we are part of the internet ecosystem. There are other parts of the internet ecosystem that do internet infrastructure. Infrastructure is not part of ICANN's mission, and so it's not clear that the auction proceeds could be used appropriately in order to support building out infrastructure. And we can't create a definition of a term that would allow for that to happen, because it really, from my reading of the mission, it's not appropriate. And so I think, you know, there could be other items that are more aligned with mission or less aligned, but I just wanted to flag some of those concerns as you go through it. But I would, again, heavily support Marilyn's suggestion that we not try to create a new definition for this term. And Erica, or? Erica, if you're speaking, I can't hear you. I don't know if anyone else can hear me.
I can hear you, Sam.
Yeah, I can hear you, Sam.
Erica, we cannot hear you. Your mic does look active, but we are not having any audio. Would you like us to dial out to you?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
I was just saying, Sam, I think it would be good if you would be so kind to review the text, the and just put in your comments, the comments you raised right now. And probably there's some more where you have concern or where you would love to add. I think this will help us to avoid any future difficulties. Such in a preamble typically has a quite prominent character in any document. So we want to be sure that we understood your concern and we can have an informed debate in this group. So would this be possible that you could add these points onto the document?
Yes. Yes, I can do that.
Okay. I would appreciate this very much. Do we have some other colleagues who want to raise? I see Marilyn, is this a new hand or is it an old hand? It was an old hand. Mark, you said something. Could you answer, Mike, to Sam? Could you maybe raise your question? Mark, please.
Erica, Mark has also posted a question in the chat. I'm not sure if he has the audio at the moment.
Okay, but he raised the hand as well. So, Mark, can you hear us?
Mark, I think we hear you, but you're very, very faint.
Marika, can you maybe read the question?
Yes, of course. This is Marika. So Mark's question is for Sam, and he asks, if the auction proceeds funds are awarded in a one-time portion and awards may face the risk to be perceived to have a wider scope and strictly ICANN's mission, then in Holland you can ask the tax authorities for an upfront tax ruling. I guess it is the same in the U.S.
Sam, would you like to answer?
Sure, Erica. I was typing into the chat, but I'll put it on the record here. So within the U.S., and I don't know specifically about rulings of this type, but I know that there are some types of proactive processes that we can do with the IRS to get things like private letter rulings and things like that. And they might not always be binding if there was a later test, but there are some processes that we could go through. But I think that one of the things that we have that I'm seeing come up within the auction proceeds conversation is it's not really just about the IRS part. I mean, if there is a determination by the IRS that we've gone outside of our mission, it puts our tax-exempt status at issue. But then there's also the broader ICANN community. And so if there's not agreement amongst the board and amongst the community that a certain activity is within ICANN's mission, whether or not this group wants it to be done and whether or not we could get a proactive ruling that doing something that we all think might not be within mission is something that's appropriate to do, which is an odd thing to go to the government to say, there is that broader issue of the community's ability and individual members' community ability to challenge ICANN for violations of its bylaws. There has to be agreement that this is what's supposed to happen, that these are the types of activities that are supposed to happen. And that is, I saw, I'm recalling James Gannon's intervention earlier this week. You know, the CCWG on accountability worked heavily to create a more limited mission. And so if this conversation is really about what should ICANN's mission be, we need to phrase it in that way and not try to use this to expand ICANN's mission through an auction proceeds exercise.
Yeah, I think that's an important point, and we have to have this debate, Sam, so please review the document and just see that there is no possibility and clue that through legal court cases, the mission statement might get expanded because the auction proceed opened this possibility. I don't actually believe that this introductionary or this preamble will lead to do something like this, because we everything else, and even in the context of the preamble, you see everything refers back to the mission and to the bylaws. But nonetheless, I understand your concern, and I think it is important that we get this right. So please put all the key points where you have particular concerns into the document. I have Daniel, and we will try Mark again. Daniel, please.
Thanks, Erica. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I typed my question anyway. So I just wanted to add that it's one thing to consider the things that are in line with the mission in the sense that they are also working for the open things that are completely independent of ICANN, that are below the ICANN layer in a sense. Hardware, infrastructure, action itself. They are clearly out of scope for the simple reason that this could be, in the end, funding an infrastructure that is not used at all by ICANN, but instead by a competition layer. So we have to consider that the thing has to be aligned with the mission in the sense that they have that their success have to benefit ICANN in the end, which is not the case for everything that is below the ICANN layer.
Yes, good point, Daniel. I wonder if we can conclude this debate here. So the Marika, and you maybe want to summarize our action points. I think one is to review the document. Everybody, please, and ideally in the Google Doc. If you can't do it in Google Doc, we will send it to you, of course, as well by email. And then just please send us your comments back. The second is some will have a special task to review it in the light of the debate today to avoid any potential legal cases, but to keep the spirit of what we try to achieve here intact. The wording about open internet, we already have some recommendations here in the chat room. Please be so kind, put them in as a comment and as a replacement of the term. If you want to agree to have a replacement, put this please in the document as well. I think these were the main tasks which I took from here. And then, of course, the bullet point where Ching raised concern and said some actually are not or shall not be part of the bullet point list. Please review them as well and see, shall they stay or shall they be moved elsewhere or shall they be deleted? Marika, I saw you, Sylvia, I come to you in a second, and to Nadia as well. Marika, did I capture all the points?
Yes, this is Marika. I have captured them as well on the right-hand side in the form of action items, and I think they align with what you just listed.
Perfect. Sylvia, please, and then followed by Nadia, and then maybe we can conclude the debate and come to the, I think the next item is the board letter. Nadia, please.
Thanks.
Sylvia dropped from the list. Sylvia, are you gone?
No, I am on. I just dropped my hand because I was next to speak, but I don't know if it was Nadia. Just let me know. I follow your orders.
Never follow orders. Not a good idea. Sylvia, please.
Thank you, Erica. Samantha, just one comment. I think that your recommendation, if I am understanding correctly, are referring to the possibility of the auction proceeds to be managed directly by ICANN, the organization, through a unit or a program that is established as part of the organization. In one of the conversations that we had before, I have read several times the issue about understanding what are the financial mechanisms that exist in the U.S. Framework or the California framework that applies, that is possible to use, that will give more flexibility. I offer one example, that is the funds that the Tides Foundation manages for donor advised funds, and there are two mechanisms there. And then it is donor advised funds that are in line with a particular mission of an organization, but that can actually deviate a little bit, let's say, and avoid these issues that you are mentioning. There are other things I can't remember the name. If it is an open foundation, if I'm not mistaken, or I can't remember, but I can look into the recommendations or the suggestions that I made before. I think that conversation about what is out there in terms of mechanisms that can be used that can allow for this kind of funding to be managed in a way that supports the ICANN mission, but is not restricted to the specific mission that was defined a few months ago and that it might change in the future, for example. I think it would be a valuable contribution for this group. And I don't think we are yet to the point to decide or have all the ducks in a row to be able to decide or make a recommendation to help the board decide if it is that the funds are going to be managed directly by ICANN or if it is more, it is more appropriate to have them managed through a separate program. And I'm not saying that Tides Foundation is the way to go. It is the one that we used when the IGF in Bali was happening, and I was in charge of collecting the pledge money from different organizations. So that's the one I know. But I'm sure there are other options, and I know that there are large companies and large organizations in the U.S. that are using that kind of mechanisms to have their own charity, so to speak, to support projects that are of interest to the organization. So I just don't want to think that this is the only way to go, and it would be great to have that information from someone that has more experience about the U.S. Legal and fiduciary framework.
Let me take some first, and then I come back to you, Nadia. Some, please.
Thanks, Sylvia. Thanks again to Sam Eisner for the record. One of the primary principles is it doesn't matter if it's ICANN that's distributing the funds or, managed through ICANN or if it's done through an external organization. ICANN's responsibility of making sure that the funds are used in an appropriate way, because they are ICANN's funds at this point, and that ultimately, however down the chain they're used, whoever distributes it, doesn't change. And that includes the mission adherence. So there's not going to be a change in ICANN's responsibility over that, whether it's done internally by ICANN or done externally. So I just wanted to make sure that we were clear on that part.
Yes, and you will be so kind to put this again in the document when you would argue we have to reframe certain language to avoid any possibility of misunderstanding. Agree with you. Yes, please, Sam.
Thank you. Sorry to interrupt. I just want to confirm, Xavier and I are working on a presentation regarding those different types of structures that could be used for funding and the differences among them. So this actually is a point that we've already built into that presentation when we're finished with it and ready to deliver it. So this is something that we're committing to writing in other places too.
Yes. Nadia, you are next. I don't see you anymore. I'm not sure. Did you drop your – don't you want to say something anymore? Nadia? Okay. We might have lost her. Apologies for this, Nadia. Sorry. There's a debate in the chat room, which I think it's... are you back?
Yes, I just had one quick comment that actually I'm not sure that we, that our group should be offering a definition for open internet. I think that it is, that this is beyond our scope. However, I do see and acknowledge the necessity for the group to have some sort of internal definition for the group itself so that it can act upon. So actually, I think that the language should be, in a way or another, changed. For example, we could say that this is the definition that we as a group are going to use, rather than saying that we are offering a definition to the open internet. Or we could say that from the aforementioned introduction and for the purpose of the work of for the purpose of the cross community working group, this is the definition that we are going to use, rather than offering a broad definition for the for opening. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Just again, maybe for those who were not always with us, this is not a try to define open internet. It is more an approach to define how ICANN and the auction proceeds, the application, the future application fit the framework of the broader internet connection. So it's very difficult for those who just joined to understand where we were coming from. So therefore, please do us a favor, review the document, put in your comments, and then we can have another informed debate about it. I think we all understood where you're coming from with your concerns about the term of open internet and some other points, but please put this in the document. There's another debate emerging in the chat room, and we will have to capture this as well, Marika. This is about, shall infrastructure be financed or not? You've made a comment, Samara made a comment, there might be as well the need to finance it. Something, that's another discussion we need to look into. We don't have to define this all, but we need to look into it. Alan, I have you next on the list.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to say, agree with something Marilyn said. I'll say it in somewhat different words. No matter how carefully we define a term like open internet, to restrict it to be just what we mean, other people will completely ignore our definition and use the definition that they are familiar with or they want to either push forward or reject. So after a lot of experience of trying to define common words to mean something different in documents, it just doesn't work. People do not accept it and will go on in their way. So I think we have to accept that this phrase has to be ditched, and we need to find, if we want to include the concept, and I support it, we need to find some different words which are not going to be confused by someone, either maliciously, deliberately, or accidentally. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. I think this is well understood. We will work on this, and hopefully the when we have our next call in 2 weeks' time, we can come to a conclusion on this one. So everything will be sent to you again. Please put comments in. I will try to summarize it at the end again and will make a recommendation. We will send it out next time earlier so you can comment on the draft recommendation as well ahead of our next call. I promise it will be earlier. This time it was very complicated. So let's move, if you agree. I don't see any objection. Let's move to the next point, which is the board letter we received from Steve. Asha, I'm wondering,
Erica,
if you would want to...
Erica.
Yeah.
My apologies. This is Marika. But before we move on to that item, can I maybe just make one suggestion on the examples? We didn't really cover that, and I know people want to discuss the board letter. But would it be a suggestion that I take the examples that are currently in the document, the ones that Tony proposed, put them in a Google Doc, create another column next to it, and see if people are willing and able to go into that and kind of start commenting, you know, how they see the examples consistent both with the preliminary agreement we have on the draft objectives as well as mission, so that people start matching the two, so we can actually see, you know, are all those examples in line with what the group believes is consistent with the objectives as well as the mission, and which ones are not. And that may then help us, you know, have a further conversation on narrowing down the list of examples that people believe fit within the objectives as well as ICANN's mission. Is that a possible way of moving forward on that discussion?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. But then I would recommend to have all the other examples, which we have already captured as well, on the same list. So you start with Tony's, and then below Tony's, you have the others so that everybody has an understanding what we already captured.
Of course.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yes.
Perfect. Okay, no disagreement I see in the chat room. Okay, fine. Asha, I would love to come to you because I would assume you had a debate about the letter on the board. So maybe you would love to give us a little bit of flavor about the letter which was sent by Steve. Are you able to talk?
Yes,
or
hi.
Are you in a room environment? Wonderful. Yes, we do.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, Asha, we do. Please.
Okay, great. Thank you, Erica. So this is Asha Hemrajani for the record, and I'm the board liaison to this group. And yes, you're right. We did take our time to come together, put together this letter to respond back to the CCWG. I mean, first and foremost, we did start off with a note that we are happy to see that that the CCWG, that the people in the CCWG are understanding the legal and the fiduciary constraints that we have. I see a great understanding of that amongst the group members, and I'm very appreciative of that. So we wanted to take this opportunity by sending the letter. Really, the purpose was to address the clarifications that you guys had raised, and I hope that we have addressed them in the letter. If we haven't, now is a good time to let us know. And then we talked about the 5% nominal goal. I think we're pretty much in alignment here. We're not dead set on a figure. We're more wanting to raise the awareness that we should be aware of the fact that we should control costs as much as possible. It's not really to me. In my mind, it of course it very much depends on the type of mechanism that we use to disperse the funds. But having this kind of a goal objective at the back of our heads that we should be as efficient as possible, I think would serve everyone well. And then a couple of other areas. Such as the what is or what isn't, you know, what is or what is not within the mission, and we've had that discussion in the first part of this call. I'm sorry I missed the first 20 minutes, but I can understand from the chat room discussions. There's been quite an interesting debate and discussion about open internet. I definitely agree with Marilyn's interventions on that point. And then also there is a point we made about a conflict of interest. So we've written you the letter. Now we would love to hear what the group's feedback is on this. And I'll stop here.
Okay.
Can you still hear me?
Somebody else who would love to kick it off? Yeah, it's fine. Thank you, Asha. Someone who would love. We have not much time left, so we will have to have a more informed debate next time. We have 15 minutes left, and there are two other items on the call we want to touch on. I mean, maybe we should open a debate because we had some discussion about the conflict of interest. I think we sense in the letter there's still some concern that there might be reshaping of the of our approach. I find when you look at ICANN, like many said before, to some degree, everybody has a conflict of interest. Or let's say everybody has an interest in something, because that's why you're an ICANN. And that's why you're debating and participating in the various working groups. And the same is true for the board. I mean, it's not like in the board you have only neutral board members, which have no particular interest in certain subjects. But that's why you do the declaration of interest, where you declare that either you yourself, which I haven't seen so far, but more your organization might want to consider in the future to apply for a fund. In most cases, it's not even certain. So my approach to this topic actually would be, I wouldn't want to exclude anybody who considers that his or her organization one day might apply, but to be transparent about it. And whenever you see a change coming up, or you sense your organization might want to do it, to declare this. I think that's the best we can do, to be open and transparent about what we do. In excluding everybody who might potentially, or whose organization potentially might want to participate, I would consider this in the framework of ICANN probably going too far. And I have not even experienced this, I must say, in other funding environments I participated. Typically, a declaration of interest was always sufficient. So we might want to have a misunderstanding here, how we sense the way the Steve or the board framed it, but it would be certainly good to not to have such kind of potential misunderstanding between us. Asha, I see you want to say something.
Yes, thank you, Erica. So I wanted to add a few points here on the COI, and then I'd like to invite Sam to chime in if possible on the COI part. I think it's laid out in the letter quite clearly, but perhaps it would be worthwhile to elaborate a bit more. Our concern is that is on the perception of conflict of interest, not only on actual conflict of interest. So while we didn't specify that we would want we would insist on members who have conflict of interest to drop out of the group, one of the points we're trying to make here is that there should be some discussion amongst the members of the CCWG that if we note that there is a member who has a very strong perspective, a point of view on a particular topic, then there has to be some kind of perhaps prior discussion on what should be done in those circumstances. And that really is the key point here. So I'd like to ask Sam if you could chime in here as well.
Maybe I take Ching first. He's on the list. And then, Sam, I come back to you because Ching might want to raise a point that you might want to comment on as well. Ching, please.
Hi, Erica. This is Ching. And thank you, Asha, for the explanation. So I probably pass because, I mean Asha, in her statement in the last part, I actually that was my question, is about what ICANN would do if, there's a potential violation or, what the ICANN would do if there's, a clear, conflict of interest take place. So I'll pass. That's my question. Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you, Ching. Asha, please. Sorry, Sam. And Asha, you probably want to take down your hand. It's an old hand. Sam, please, if you want to comment on this one.
Thanks, Erica. Again, this is Sam Eisner from ICANN Legal. I think Asha's discussion around the perceptions issue is correct. And I think we wouldn't assume that everyone who has a strong viewpoint on a particular topic or a particular issue would be conflicted when it comes to making decisions on that issue. But you know, it's laid out in the letter, there's a discussion about that the perception issues as well as being really transparent about things. So as it's described in the letter, the board already has an obligation to take actions without conflict of interest. And so you'll see at times that the board will there will be board members who recuse themselves from conversations and other types of documentation around board decisions. There are also internal practices where sometimes board members are actually excluded from the room during certain types of deliberations or conversations because of their conflict of interest. If there isn't transparency around that type of conflict among the board, among the CCWG members, that could actually create the ability for the whole process itself to be challenged later. And that's one of the things we're trying to mitigate against. So we want to make sure that when people outside of the process look at this and, you know, 2 years down the road after there have been applications, et cetera, and we have reports on who received the funding, the people don't look and say, oh, well, of course they, X person, lobbied for this to happen within the group or for this type of funding to happen because, look, they've applied for that exact type of funding. Those are issues that show the conflict of interest or show the potential for a conflict of interest to be there. And so if any person who's participating thinks that, you know, we recently had, just on today's call, we had a conversation about funding infrastructure projects. If anyone who's participating on the call has an interest in having an infrastructure project funded in the future, maybe they want to be declaring that and say, look, this is the viewpoint from which I come. This is what I'm saying this. This is why I'm saying this, or this is one of the reasons that I'm saying this. So take my comment, take my input with that in mind. And that's one of the ways that we can get transparency on the record to show how this group dealt with conflicts of interest.
This was very helpful, Sam. I have three, and I think we had already examples where colleagues exactly did what you just mentioned. So I think there's in principle an understanding about such an approach you mentioned in the last part of your comment. I have Marilyn and Alan, and then we have to conclude this discussion and have to pick it up next time. Marilyn, please.
Thank you so much, Sam. Marilyn Kate speaking. I'm just going to suggest, and I apologize again, I'm joining the group late. I've read as much as I can. I've read all the interest statements of all the board members, and I also am very, very familiar with the declarations of interest and the SOIs, and I'll just say as a comment to everyone on the group, if you haven't updated your SOI in the last 3 months, maybe you ought to go do that. That's just a little comment because I personally learned myself that I hadn't kept my SOI as up-to-date as I should. But I say this, I wonder, Erica, if you and your co-chair might consider having biannual, so twice a year, maybe that's, you know, the wrong term, but a briefing from ICANN Legal, Samantha, on what a conflict of interest is, why, what the purpose is, et cetera. We've had it on a call, but, you know, a lot of people aren't here. Maybe a formal 20-minute legal briefing would be a standard thing, in particular in this CCWG, that we ought to do. It's just an idea, but I think it has some merits because, you know, I looked at the attendance. So, hey, guys, I do a lot of research before I join a group. You might go look at your attendance record, and you'll see that not everybody is able to attend every meeting, but maybe we have a requirement that people attend the briefing or they tick the box that they watched the webinar from a presentation from ICANN Legal about what a conflict of interest is.
Thank you, Marilyn. We will look into this and we'll pick it up again. Alan and Asha, I think we're getting too late, but let's check. Alan first.
Thank you very much. Sam gave the classic example of if you push for X to be an acceptable project and then you apply for a lot of X's, that is going to be suspect if you haven't made it really clear ahead of time. The other one, which perhaps is less obvious, is we're going to have to make a recommendation on the structure. And there are a lot of people in this group saying we should look at external structures that already exist to do it. So in a similar vein, if you push very heavily for rules associated with selecting an external structure, and you're going to be one of the bidders, and you've propose things ostensibly quite innocently, which allow your organization to match the criteria better than others, that's really a conflict of interest, and that's one of the ones that should be declared. Now, the people who understand funding structures are really good participants in this call, in these calls, so we don't want them to leave, but that's the kind of potential conflict that has to be declared and really upfront. Thank you.
Asha, can you keep it short?
Yeah, very briefly. I think we've gotten our point across. I think the point here is that this group needs to have a serious discussion or a debate on this subject. And I support Marilyn's idea. I think about having a session. I don't think that would be too much of a problem for Sam or Xavier. I think it would be worthwhile to spend a little bit of time to talk about the possible pitfalls of not taking this seriously enough. Because as Sam mentioned, and I want to reiterate and echo what she said, it's the perception, and it's also we don't want to have the work of the CCWG under jeopardy sometime down the road. So I just want to stop here, and I think we should all take this in a positive light. We should not take it in a negative way. The point is to preserve our work and to preserve the sanctity of our work. Thank you.
Erica, this is Marika. Are you talking? We don't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
That's so bizarre. So I just said we will take this, of course, in a positive light. We looked into this topic many times seriously. We will review the declaration of interest. I'll understand and try to understand if we will put in such a kind of lecture about this topic and how we will do it. And I think that the topic is understood. We will make a recommendation how to deal with it, and we will discuss it next time. The last two points, I think the last item we skipped, Marika, the one about the we wanted to have an input from Mike and finance and legal. I think we're still waiting about this. So once we have it, we can put this on the agenda. Any point you wanted to raise with regard to this topic, Marika?
No, this is Marika. I think Sam already indicated that she and Xavier are working on it, and I can check with them offline when they expect to have that ready to make sure we can add it to the agenda for the meeting closer to that date.
Perfect. Let's do this. And then the last item on the agenda is the announcement of our next call, which is on 21st of September, same time, 2 o'clock, 2 UTC. With this, I think we can stop if nobody wants to have an urgent matter. No? Okay, then I wish you all the very best, and we can stop the recording, and thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone, for joining. King, you can stop the recording, and everyone have a great day.